Welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race Recap Show for Season 12, Episode 0, titled Meet the Queens. My name is Joe Batance, and I am joined, as always, by one Britta Filter. People that can't use their names, they deny they have these names. From the podcast, Pod is my co-pilot. I don't have a clip. You know what? Let me pull a random clip, okay? From the podcast, Pod is my co-pilot. Please say...
I just want to play on those tit trumpets.
To Taylor... the Latte Boy. Hello, Taylor the Latte Boy.
Hello, Joe Batance. We're back together.
We are back together. It's been 7 months since we've had you here on the air.
I know.
I feel you were on an episode of Drag Race UK.
I kind of think I was, too. I was sitting here thinking about it. Like, when... I know, you and I have talked extensively over the last 7 months, and I feel like we've done something together, but I can't remember what it is.
Yeah. But
which speaks to the quality of the Afterthought Media.
It shows how memorable you are,
right? But to myself, here. Too. Not just to you, but to myself.
7 months. Well, for sure, the very first time you've been on here in 2020.
Yes.
The first time I've been on here in 2020. Lest you guys think that I'm constantly doing shows, you're getting reruns from Patreon. If you're listening on iTunes or anything like that, you've been getting like old stuff from Patreon. I haven't been on here since Drag Race UK. Anyway, speaking of, Taylor and I are going to chit chat for a bit. And if you want to hear that, go ahead and go to patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia and join at the premium level to, enjoy all that content, commercial free, early. They're going to get it early, Taylor. But for now, we'll be back. Well, you're going to hear a beep and then Taylor and I will suddenly be back. All right. All right, Taylor. So yesterday, January 23rd, RuPaul's Drag Race announced their queens. They announced who the queens for season 12 would be. Now, you know, we have a show called The Rumor Mill, by the way.
Yes.
And the Rumor Mill crew consists of Evan Ayers, Jamila Zarad, George Munoz, and Jimmy Anti. Jimmy Anti is a drag queen. And they're going to be going over the drag queens in detail over the course of a few episodes on the Rumor Mill, which you can get on this very feed, so you can get it on this feed. But we're going to kind of do a brief overview of the queens. And unlike the Rumor Mill, I have tried to stay away from the rumors. It's weird. I was thinking about it this morning is like 24 hours ago, I had no clue who any of these queens were.
I am the same. Yes.
They had no role in my life. They didn't exist. Okay.
And now we're going to talk about them for 3 months ad nauseum.
I know. It's funny because, I've already gotten to kind of know some of them now because I've analyzed Meet the Queens. I've watched the runway a couple of times. I've written notes on my thoughts on each queen. And what's funny is, and you know what? We're going to do one of my favorite things, by the way, which is make our predictions.
Oh, yeah, no, I definitely figured at some point we would do top half, bottom half.
Top half, bottom half.
Yeah.
And, of course, we know, we're consistently very wrong.
Yes.
Even though I think for one of the seasons, I was really right.
You are definitely, I am the person who said Trinity Taylor was going to be the first one to go home.
Yeah.
And I am also the one that Soju would be Miss Congeniality. And she would be the heart of the season.
No. I'm typically pretty wrong. There was one season where I was eerily correct, but I think it's only one season. So we will see. And I actually have less of a sense for this one than I do on other seasons, actually.
I would agree with that, too. It seems like there's enough similarity with the exception of one or two that I can't necessarily pick out a top three or four at this point.
Yeah. You're right. I don't think it could.
I definitely can see a little bit more top half, bottom half.
Yeah.
But,
even then, I'm going to struggle in the middle. I think there's let me put it this way. With the exception of maybe one or two, and I'm going to talk in this really high pitched voice, I could see, but I don't see anyone that screams filler queen. Does that make sense? I don't.
Yeah, I would agree with that too. I think there's only one or two that I don't think will be around very long. I did only write Filler Queen on one, maybe two of the notes that I wrote.
I didn't write Filler Queen for any of them.
I will say this also, mm-hmm. and I feel like we need to address this now, if anything, because we're putting it out there.
Yeah.
We made a decision last night that we are going to do our best to not compare them to previous contestants. So we're not going to say someone is the Sasha Velour of this season, the Katya mm-hmm. of the season, anything like that. We are trying to, on what we have been given in front of us, mm-hmm. even though some of them, it's going to be really hard not to do that.
Yeah.
We're going to just kind of look at them as their own individual queens.
You know, correct? To address that, you know what's so funny? When I was watching it, I was thinking, and by the way, what I'm going to say right now, I do not believe. But when I was watching it, I was thinking, because there have been queens complaining about it already on social mm-hmm. media. And I was thinking about how one of the queens, I won't even say which, even though I think anyone who's seen it will know who I'm talking about. One of the queens, I go, oh, I could see people thinking this is the Trixie Mattel, right? I don't believe that, by the way. But then I was thinking back to Trixie Mattel when we did do that, and we were calling Trixie Mattel then the Bianca Del Rio. Oh, she's trying to be the Bianca Del Rio, you know?
Okay.
So it's not fair because now we obviously really know Trixie Mattel is her own person, not anything like Bianca Del Rio.
Right.
Bianca Del Rio is funny. Anyway. Yeah. Anyway, but before we get to the actual individual queens, so what they did when they went live on Twitter at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, and what we saw was, because I want to talk about this, and let's talk about it now, Evie oddly doing an introduction with like the whole like fake like interference, you know, like satellite interference and a weird effect on her voice. And I addressed this before the show, but so I didn't get to literally hear your thoughts, Taylor. But what were your thoughts on the sort of just overall feel of the way that the runway reveal was handled?
Well, it feels like some of the producers of Drag Race seem to be big fans of the changes they've made to Dragula.
Yeah.
Because it felt very, like, to where even, surprisingly, my husband and I watched it together, and he and I were thinking a lot of the same things, and he said, I feel like I'm watching Dracula right now. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, that is sort of what it feels like. Now, I also kind of forgot that Evie Oddly won last season. When they brought her out, I was sort of like, oh, yeah, she won. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't, I don't think, speak as well to her reign. But mm-hmm. I just, with the editing that they did and the weird that everything was sort of dirty, it took place in this old warehouse and mm-hmm. And with the where they would be walking, then suddenly things would slow down and a lot of the quick cuts. It just felt like when they do the floor shows at Dragula.
Yeah. It, also, well, just the I'm talking about specifically, that's true, but of Evie too. Evie was doing some sort of weird Boulé Brothers style hand choreography.
Yes.
And making word, and I don't know if Evie wrote this, I don't think she did, but the word choices had the sort of syntax that the Boulé brothers have too. You know, mm-hmm. like for saying like, who's going to usurp my crown? That's not usually Drag Race language. It felt very what you would expect the Boulé brothers. Like, in other words, the Boulé brothers on Dracula season 3 were doing some sort of weird, like they were appearing via satellite to the girls. It had that sort of weird feel in it. And on their own Meet the Monsters video, it had a long hallway runway feel. Mm-hmm. And what's funny is, yeah, because RuPaul's Drag Race is sort of known when you think about it. And what's funny, what's really, really interesting is, I would almost applaud RuPaul's Drag Race. I'm not criticizing them, but I would applaud them if they veered from their general aesthetic and their choice. But apart from a couple of queens and apart from how they presented the runway reveal, it's pretty standard issue the kind of girls they go for, you know?
Yeah. And when I'm saying the thing about Dracula when I'm making the comparisons, I'm not saying that as a bad thing.
Yeah.
You know, I think that Drag Race, when we look at, you know, we watched Dracula season 3 mm-hmm. and then after Dracula season 3 came out or around the same time, Drag Race UK started. Mm-hmm. And I remember talking with you about how quaint it felt compared to Dracula, whereas Dracula definitely felt a little bit more unpolished and rough edges. When you were looking at Drag Race UK, you know, while I enjoyed Drag Race UK, mm-hmm. there was a little bit too much of a polish on it. So I'm wondering if, you know, people are starting to recognize what Dragula is doing, not only with how they're doing it, but that they had on a assigned female at birth. They had a drag king. They had all of these different people that were on. So, and while Rue has kind of cornered herself in one box as far as who will be on the show, maybe she's looking for ways to present in a different way,
which I'm here for. But then don't you think the show is tacitly conceding that Dragula is the future of drag, that they are sort of the avant-garde pioneers, if you will, and RuPaul's now Drag Race is now in its wake?
I kind of think that may be the way that we're seeing it. We're not seeing, you know, when you, even when you look at the girls, while yes, all of the girls seem to have a polish to them, mm-hmm. you know, compared to seasons like 1, 2, and 3 girls, mm-hmm. as far as where it was much more about pageant, it was much more about gowns. And then we see people like Bianca Del Rio and Sasha Velour and Trixie Mattel and stuff where there is a greater, there's a wider berth. It's not as wide as you get on Dragula. Mm-hmm. I would even say it's not necessarily as wide as you get on something like Camp Wanakiki.
Yeah.
But you're starting to see. So this is where Rue, we've talked it here and you've talked on other various shows about this world, this universe, that Rue has a kind of, she doesn't want to paint outside the lines too much. Whereas I feel like the Boulay brothers and even the Sugarbreaker twins want to draw way outside the lines as far as what drag is and really kind of explore everything that drag has to offer.
Well, I kind of think the way you see it is, and I'm going to ignore Camp Wanakiki because that show's horrible, but with Dragula is you kind of get the sense that Dragula is introducing you to what's out there. Does that make sense? Like here's a flavor, a sampling of what's out there. Whereas, and I feel RuPaul's Drag Race, I think you were kind of saying this, in the very beginning, I would say up until season 7, through the first 5 or 6 seasons, like, here is what it looks out there in the world of drag, and now they're on this show, where I feel season 7 moving onward, and then this right here, it gets more and more like what I'm going to say, is now it's about no longer let's compete for America's next drag superstar because this is what the future of drag is. It's now a competition about who is the best at RuPaul's Drag Race. So the skill set is how good are you at RuPaul's Drag Race? There's a queen or two on here where I'm like, I don't think they're right for this competition, and I don't know mm-hmm. how far they'll go, but I would love to see their show.
Yeah.
There's like another couple of queens I feel that way where I'm like, I don't know they're going to do very well, but I would love to go to one of their shows.
I definitely wrote in here a couple of times on my list, you know, mm-hmm. she's a Dragula girl. She's not a Drag Race girl. I don't mm-hmm. quite know why, just from the vibe that I'm getting from her.
There's now that you open the can of worms, there's one that I think might be a Camp Wanakiki girl.
There is definitely one that is a Camp Wanakiki girl that she looks, you could totally see her on Camp Wanakiki.
Yeah, but that's the problem, though, is when I feel if we watch this show and we're fans of this show and mm-hmm. we think, oh, well, this person's a good drag queen, but just not for this show, that's a problem because that means the show is not highlighting what's drag. It's highlighting who's good at the show.
Well, but we're also going into this not seeing what season 12 is going to offer. Now, do I think they're going to be doing, you know, Fear Factor type challenges? No, but maybe there is going to be where they're moving beyond the scope of what they've always done in the past, and that's why they're starting to introduce these people. I also want to say something. Well, we're saying that a particular contestant feels more like a Dragula girl or even the Camp Wanakiki girl. I'm not looking at that as a read against these contestants.
No, it's not a read at all.
I specifically watching particularly the 12-minute video that we're talking about right now, tried very hard, and really with the exception of maybe one, succeeded in writing nothing but positive things about these girls. It was my goal to go with this. I don't want to trash any of the girls. I definitely have ones that I like more than others, mm-hmm. and one or two I struggled with coming up with something positive, mm-hmm. but I tried to find something positive. Actually, that's not true, because one I wrote really not nice things about, but the rest of the girls, I want to give these girls a chance. And I think you and I deciding to not do this is the fill in the blank of this season is allowing me to I tried really hard to kind of look at them much more about themselves and what they were presenting versus what I could compare them to in the past.
All right. Well, with that said, why don't we go right into the first queen? Now, Taylor, I have all of the audio from the Meet the Queens pulled per queen.
Okay.
So I don't plan on playing every single one, but if there's a queen where you're like, because there's a couple I already know, I want to hear their audio, right? Or I might play a bit of it, you know? If there's one, please let me know. I want to hear their audio, but can I have it all right here? It's all ready to go and right here. So the first one, we're going to go in the same order as the show, which is the show in alphabetical order by first name. And the first one is Aiden Zane. Now, before you say anything, I want to make a prediction. Before you say anything about Aiden Zane, I wrote, Taylor will like her because of the Judge Doom reference from Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
We'll have to see.
Okay, so
were you
going to
play the audio, or were you
want me to play the audio?
No.
Yeah.
I don't need to. It's funny that we're starting with Aiden, because remember I just said a second ago that I only had one that I
This is the one you didn't like?
This is the one I didn't like.
Oh, no,
okay.
Well,
okay. When she was the first one to come out, mm-hmm. I said, I really like the look because it's different. Uh-huh. It was something a little different. And I immediately, especially considering she was the first one to come out in this weird, dark, like alleyway type thing, I was like, oh, they're going for a Dragula vibe, especially with the red contacts mm-hmm. and the scratched up leather. But the second she started talking in her interview, I immediately did not like her.
Okay, I got to hear this because we're going to have to actually. First one, we have to hear this audio. Now, I want to clock this for anyone who's a big Joe Batanz fan and listening to the show later. I don't know what the fuck it is with the universe that has a great sense of humor, but the season after my boyfriend Cameron and I broke up, there was a contestant on RuPaul's Drag Race named Cameron Michaels. Okay. Now, mm-hmm. this is the season after I dated someone named Aiden. Okay. And now there's an Aiden Zane. So now for the next 3 months, I'm going to be fucking saying the name Aiden. Oh, just like my real relationship. No, that lasted longer than 3 months. But after 3 months, I'll stop saying that name. All right. Here we go. So let's listen to the audio. And I'll stop it along the way. We're not going to play the whole thing. But because that's interesting to me. Because before we say anything, my thoughts were actually... that I was fine with her. I didn't like the runway look, but I did like the one in the Meet the Queens look. I wasn't a fan.
Okay, can we talk about that before we start talking about, I love that there's always a theme with colors every year. Mm-hmm. And I love red, white, and blue as a color set. Like 4th of July is one of my favorite holidays just because of all the red, white, and blue stuff everywhere. So the fact that, and I get why Rue is doing it this year with it being an election year and she feels very strongly about our current administration and all that kind of stuff. So it makes a lot of sense. And I loved a lot of the, one look in particular. I really, really loved when we get to her, but I loved that aesthetic of the red, white, and blue this year. I was actually thinking over the last couple of days, I wonder what color, because she's really cut. She's done gold. She's done silver. She's done black. I feel like she did red. Mm-hmm. So I like that she's mixing things up.
All right, so she's wearing a red, white, blue outfit, and it did. Once she said that she's like, we're going to hear it, a mix between Judge Doom and somebody else. The anime was it? But I wrote on here that she definitely has the kind of personality of someone who goes far. There's a self confidence. It's like you were saying. What's funny is you were talking to Taylor about how you were focusing on saying negative things. I was really of the charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent. Because we're not going to see the talent until later, or the nerve and the uniqueness we'll say later. But the charisma we can pick up on these. And I was thinking, do they have the charisma of someone who can go far in this competition? And so from what I could tell, she does. Now, the one thing we're going to hear, I don't know if we'll hear it, I think this comes at the end. She says, you've never seen anything like Aiden before. And I'm like, we have. I didn't see anything that was groundbreaking in her look. And it's not a criticism of her look. I'm just saying, we've seen it before, bitch. Calm down. All right.
Yeah.
You're not Christopher Columbus.
I am Aiden Zane. I am 29 years old, and I am from the middle of nowhere, Georgia.
It is rock and roll music.
I chose the name Aiden Zane because I wanted something that felt very in line with my aesthetic, and I also chose it for A to Z, again, both ends of the spectrum. Living in the middle of nowhere.
So what don't you like so far when you're hearing
much
this?
To influence my drag.
I don't like the weird that we're going to draw out, and it's not quite vocal fry, but it's this, and it felt like every time she was talking, she kept rolling her eyes. There's just something about her that's very, I'm an art school kid, and I'm better than you.
Oh, I didn't get that impression.
Alien from the species. I'm like equal parts cartoon, colorful, dark, horror, all sort of mixed into one. I definitely like to think that I paint in a unique way. I love to angle my makeup sort of straight up, if you will. For a lot of girls, it just depends on the face that you...
I thought she was fine.
I loved her makeup. When she talked about that, I agree with that. I did not like the two different colored contacts. It was distracting as well. But her first look, the makeup was very angular. Everything was sort of going up. And that, like I said, I liked the look. She may be somebody who, again, I liked Soju last season. So this may be something where I'm completely wrong. And she becomes the one that I really like. I just have a feeling that we are going to... I think we're going to go far, but I also think that we're going to go far and think that we're better than everybody else. But in a way that's not, I have what it takes to win this competition. It's more like they don't have what it takes to take this competition.
Okay.
Plus, I'd be curious where in Georgia she's from.
Why?
Just because in the middle of nowhere, Georgia, there are cities in Georgia. You know, it's weird that she never actually says the city. So, I mean, unless she is really in some little tiny town out of nowhere, I would think that, you know, I mean, I don't know. I'll be curious when the season starts where she's actually from.
Going back to what you said, also, like, don't ever take our opinion. Like, I remember, if you remember, on the Meet the Queens for Drag Race UK, I loathed Davina DeCampo. Loathed
As did I.
I wanted her gone immediately. I couldn't with that laugh. And then by the end, she was my favorite, and I was rooting for her. I was so sad when she didn't win.
Yeah.
So everything can change. You know, we're seeing a very brief glimpse and a very clinical view of these girls. Very, very postured view. All right, moving on. Next, we have Britta. Now, before you say anything about Britta, I got a text message yesterday from a friend of mine, straight guy, who sent me the video, and he's all like, and he just said, I know her. When I lived in New York, she was a waiter at the, well, he said he was using the male pronouns. I know him. He was a waiter at the restaurant that I was a chef, I was cooking at in New York City. So I know her. And I was like, oh, and I was just saying like, you like her? He's like, yeah, she's nice enough and blah, blah, blah. So, but what are your thoughts on Britta, Taylor?
My first thought was that she sort of looked like a plus size RuPaul.
Well, she had that wig. The wig was very
RuPaul. The wig helped with that. Absolutely. She was somebody that she seems super polished. And over the course of the 3 minutes, I liked her. Then I didn't like her. Then I liked her. Then I didn't like her. Then I liked her. she was all over the place for me. And when I say I don't like her is that there became a blandness where I sort of lost focus. And then she would say something and bring me back. And then I would start to lose focus. And then she would bring me back again. And she ended the interview where she had me on her side. But I'll be curious as to how that arc plays, you know, even over the course of a 3 minute, how that's going to play over multiple episodes.
It's so funny. I feel like I had a nearly identical reaction to her, where there's something like, oh, this one. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's good. But here's the deal. Unlike you, though, I never lost focus with her. She captivated me the entire time, and which I can't say for the other girls. And whether it was pure disgust or pure cheering on her on, I don't know. And so I don't know how I feel about her. Now, you have to remember, going back to a previous season, and I'm not comparing to her at all, but I'm talking about fan reaction, is after the Meet the Queens episode, Silky Nutmeg Ganache was already crowned the winner. And people were like, oh, this is the one. She is our favorite. She is so good. Because she made a really good, strong, and positive Meet the Queens appearance. But as we saw, that didn't necessarily play out on the show. So, again, things can change. And right now I'm up in the air about her. I'm either going to really hate her. I don't think I'm going to – I'll tell you this. I'd be surprised if I'm down the middle on her. Because I can already tell, I'm either going to love her or hate her. I can't tell which.
Yeah.
Do you need to hear any audio?
But she's one of those that may change from episode to episode.
True. Good point.
You know, if I'm having this experience over the course of 3 minutes, is this going to be where I'm like up at night thinking about whether or not I like her.
Now,
I don't know.
Do you need to hear any audio from her?
I don't need to hear any audio from her.
Once again, just to plug the show, I'm assuming that the rumor mill will be playing this audio and dissecting it and giving you tea about each queen and whatnot. That's all that in detail about each queen will happen on the rumor mill. Right now, we're just giving our first impressions of each queen. All right, next up, we have Crystal Method. She's from St. Louis, Missouri, Taylor. Any thoughts on her?
She is one that I thought felt more like a Dragula girl than a Drag Race girl. I thought it was weird that Party Monster was her inspiration, became her inspiration to do drag, considering that's, you know, about a murder.
Yeah. But well, I didn't want to tell you this. Don't Fuck with Cats on Netflix inspired me to go on a male modeling show and commit murder.
Well, there you go. See, yeah. we all find sparks of which is one little spark of creativity that just sends us on these journeys.
Go ahead.
She felt a little unprepared.
Yes. Yes.
And the one thing that she kept talking about was that she feels she's more about more and more and more accessories, especially cheap accessories. And my concern for she seems like a sweet girl. Mm-hmm. My concern for that, if she comes out wearing tons and tons and tons of stuff, Michelle is going to rip her apart. And then that is going to be where, if this is her drag aesthetic, then that's going to be a problem for her, I think.
So here's what I know about the way they make, and this is going to what I think here. Here's what I know about how they produce RuPaul's Drag Race. Is the queens are kept sequestered until they see each other in the workroom for the first time.
Right.
So when the person walks into the workroom, they don't, in theory, and there may be queens talking so they know who's going to be on, but in theory, they're sequestered. They don't see who else is on the show until they walk in the workroom. Okay? And typically what they do is after the first or second episode, maybe the third, that's when they film these promos on like a weekend in between filming. Okay? It's usually after the second episode. And so that's why these girls, if you hear all they meet the queens, they all know who the other girls are. They say this is a really strong cast. They've all met each other before. Okay.
I think I know where you're going with this. Okay.
And there is something about the way that Crystal is talking that makes me think she wasn't there very long.
Yeah.
And yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. No, she says something where she kind of makes an excuse of why she's not going to win, like in the middle of her interview. I see where you're going with this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I just said, well, even if she lasts a while, one of the things, like I told you, I was focusing on charisma and the way they present themselves. There was a lack of poise that you would not see in America's Next Drag Superstar. There was a lack of self-confidence. And when I say self-awareness, I don't mean she does not, like, she's like insulting people or doing rude things because she's not aware of other people, but a lack of self-awareness and not knowing and who her character, and I don't know what her boy name is, but it didn't appear on this video that she knew who Crystal Method was.
Yeah.
And another thing, too, and I kept thinking about this during the whole thing, because I kept almost scratched it out a couple of times. I almost kept saying, well, she's a young queen. And then she's not old. But in terms of Drag Race girl, I think she's like 28 or something like that, which means I don't know how long she's been doing drag, but it felt like a queen who's not been doing it very long. You know? And
I feel like she said 3 years.
Oh, okay. Well, 3 years.
I think. I'm not 100% sure on that, but for some reason, 3 years is sticking in my head.
Okay. And we can listen to the audio. Should we listen to the audio? Is it worth it? Let me see here.
No.
Okay. So I just, you know, a lot of the queens had that, especially the more confident ones, that spark of, I'm going to win this, and here's why. All right? She didn't have that. She had a very like, yeah, I'm going home, you know, and that's the only thing. And there was a defeatist tone in her voice. And that's the only thing that made me think, oh, this she's not here for long.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And also there was a lack of polish to the look. And again, this is not a criticism of her drag, but I think one of the things you need on RuPaul's Drag Race is a polish to you, a sheen. She doesn't have that. Not saying it's a bad drag, and I'm just, that's just what it is. All right, moving on to Dahlia Sin. Dahlia Sin is, it's funny because, so a couple of years ago, Afterthought Media All-Star Evan Ayers, he of the Thick and Juicy Peach, came out here to... He put the ass in Jurassic Park. Evan, you want to know, Evan loves Jurassic Park. He came out, his Jurassic was two C's at the end, too. Anyway.
Jurassic.
Yeah, Jurassic Park.
Evan, Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm. So anyway. I saw him in L.A. and I was like, I want a Mountosaurus. Anyway, Evan is so uncomfortable right now.
I know.
Actually, what's funny is I've already gotten, while we were talking, I think he's listening live, I've already gotten a message from him.
Really?
Yeah.
Joe, honestly, fuck you.
All right. That I was saying nice things about you, but okay, we'll go with that. Anyway.
Yeah, we're not saying it's bad then.
Yeah, we're not saying it's bad, Evan.
No.
Why do you think it's bad, Evan? Why do you think it's bad?
I'm actually a pig. I'm a pig trapped in a boy's body.
Oh, no, you're not. You're good. You're fine. Okay. But Evan, let me ask you this question. I have one more question for Evan. I have him on the phone only very, very briefly. Evan, what would the sound be that you would make as a dinosaur? Oh, okay. All right. Well, there, now we know. Okay. Anyway, when Evan
so
was
while
out,
he was out there.
While he was out there, we went to Mickey's and we saw it was an amazing drag show and the House of Aja was performing. Okay. And there was Aja, there was Fat Aja, and then there was Dahlia Sin, right? And so I remembered her because she was the House of Aja, and so I talked to Taylor about her. I remember her perform. So I've seen her perform. Her performance was fine, you know? But what's funny, I remember, though, Morgan McMichaels was hosting, and she clocked it. She said, you're going to see her on a future season of Drag Race. You know, just and true, now here she is. But so I already knew she was the House of Aja, and so I don't know if you knew that or not, but even going in, I was like, oh, she is House of Aja.
Yeah. No, she definitely has the aesthetic. Mm-hmm. So apparently there's a drinking game going on. Anytime I say aesthetic, people are supposed to do a shot in the chat room. But I was not a huge fan of Dahlia. I wrote down here, it will be drama that keeps her around for a while. I think that it will be drama that keeps her around, and that I am calling it that she will make it to Match Game, and then that will be what sends her home.
Mm-hmm. Well, she sounds just like Aja.
But she does.
I will play a little bit of it here, and I don't know if her drag performance is like her, but like here we go.
Hi, I'm Dahlia Sin. I am.
I mean, she sounds just like Aja.
Yeah.
How old am I? I am 28 years old, and I am from Los Angeles, California.
So, what's funny is I said she sounds like Aja. I mean, she does say she's Aja's drag daughter. But I really think if she's going to do well in this competition, she's going to need to find a way to differentiate herself from Aja. The aesthetic is the same. I almost like, did she borrow Aja's looks? I mean, that's how much it looked like, hey, yo, sis, you know?
Yeah.
So,
she sounds like Aja and she has Aja's aesthetic, but I get a. She looks like a door.
What is that? Oh, not a door that you open and close.
No, you're a saying, door. She looks like Adore Delano. In the face, she looks like Adore Delano.
Yeah,
I'm not calling her the next Adore Delano. I'm staying with my rules. I'm not comparing them. Everybody, calm down.
So, according to Taylor the Latte Boy, you put in the poster, she is the next Adore Delano. Well, you know, one of the things that I said was on here is she's very taken with herself, but that could actually help her on this competition. Confidence takes you a long way, I think, on this show. And contrast that with Crystal Method and how the lack of confidence that was there. You know, like Dahlia's like, I will fucking, you know, go very far. you know, so yeah. And that could take,
but the confidence has to be worthy though. Mm-hmm. Because at what point are you confident, and do you cross over from confident to delusional?
Okay.
And we don't know if this confidence that she has is delusion, or if she has what it takes to back it up.
That's the tricky thing with these, trying to see these Meet the Queens episodes, is it, because there's a 3-minute, you know, beauty pageant style answer these questions kind of things, and it's hard to mm-hmm. gauge what that is. All so, right. Oh, go ahead.
I have one more question, though.
Sure.
Is she of Latinx origin?
I don't know whatever her background is.
Because if she's not, I don't think anybody in here is Latin. Are there any Latin queens this year?
I don't know.
I couldn't clock any, which...
Yeah. There are a couple Asian queens.
Yes. No, I know there's definitely a couple Asian queens, but I feel like... this might be the first season without. If she is not, then this may be the first season with no Latinx.
Well, you know, burgeoning Afterthought Media producer Luke Stamen is in the chat room, I believe. Right? Is she still there?
She was recently.
Okay. Maybe she can find out if there's any of the. The queens are of Latinx persuasion, or at least have a Latino last name. Usually Wikipedia has their real names. I remember we're going to get to Gigi Good right now, and she is like, I can't say my last name. I'm like, bitch, it's going to be in Wikipedia in about a day.
Yeah, right.
So
Luke is in the chat. Luke, go do your job. Go do some research for us, please.
Yeah.
And if you could bring me a cappuccino, that'd be great.
Yeah, exactly.
Light on the sugar.
Yeah. Okay, I have the city they're from and their age, but I don't have their real names just yet. I'm looking at the Wikipedia, but maybe producer not,
Joe,
Luke Stamen.
Joe,
can, yeah,
Joe, that's not your job.
You're right.
That's Luke's job. Luke is the producer now.
You're right. Luke,
get on it.
Get on it, Luke. Anyway. Okay, so the next one we have down the runway is Gigi Good. Your thoughts on Gigi Good from Los Angeles, California?
Top three.
I agree.
Gigi Good will be top three. And I also think I wrote down Gigi Good is going to be the one that I'm going to have uncomfortable conversations with Joe about, where he goes, this Gigi Good, oh my God, as a boy, she's so beautiful.
Okay. I don't know. I've only seen one picture of her as a boy. Uh-huh. And she was fine. I don't know yet. I gotta see more.
Well, how wonderful of you to deem her fine.
Yeah. So I don't know. Right now, actually, I don't even like her as a drag queen. There is one queen who I just saw. But again, I'm going based on one picture that was on Reddit.
Yeah.
So I'll know more when I see them walking. Like, for instance, and remember, people are usually wrong. Everyone thought I was going to have the hots for this Blair St. Clair, and I was like, no, she looks like a puppet.
Right? Okay, but get
and everyone thought I was going to love this Pheromone. Didn't love
Pheromone. Yeah, no, that's true. We all thought you were going to love Pheromone. But yeah. I think Gigi is beautiful as a queen.
Yeah.
She gave me, and I mean this in the best possible way, a mm-hmm. Carmen Electra vibe from a Carmen Electra was big back in the 90s.
Sure, I can see that.
I feel like she let out a couple of little seeds of information that leads me to think she will be the one with the tragic backstory.
Oh, really?
Which is why... another reason that Joe Patan's, because he loves nothing more than a twink that cries.
Mm-hmm.
Because
what
she said something.
What makes you think that? Hold on.
She made a statement that said, you know, I'm my own Barbie doll. I was the only toy I had.
Wait, hold on.
Good morning. My name is Gigi Good. I'm 21 years old from Los Angeles.
Well, she's
California.
21. She's the right age.
Right.
You know how far in it is?
So my drag name, Gigi Good, comes from my last name, which
I love her voice.
I'm going to give that away, but it's spelled with two G's.
You're not
going to
give it.
It
away.
Yeah, she's definitely
and then
a little
Good
femme.
Comes from season 3 of American Horror Story. Jessica
I love
character.
I Yoda love Good, femme.
That was coming out like right
I know. She hits drag. All of the things for you.
I started drag when I was 15 years old. At
but she's tall.
Venues that doubled as indoor rock walls.
I'm not
so
a big fan of tall people.
Well,
I mean, if they're thick and
there,
tall.
So
yeah.
It's like half bedroom queen, half rock wall girl.
Right,
you know those fashion illustrations that are on like clothing patterns? Gigi Good is that, but with like no concept of direction or basic math. And so
by
that's
the
probably
way.
The best way I can love her.
Oh, sorry, that was my fault. By the way, I'm a big fan of when drag queens refer to their character in third person. I love it. Ah, stop. What's going on? I don't know what happened there. Okay, here we go. Let me try to find this.
That Barbie doll. That's all I had. My favorite part of drag is wearing clothes. Well, it's my favorite part of living in the world. I'm my own goddamn Barbie doll. That's all I had to entertain myself when I was, you know, age one to last year. So I just have been treating myself like a life-size doll, and it is just a dream come true. Like, I'm getting paid for this. The big...
So that's your...
That's that her saying that, something about that kind of a little red flag went up that at some point she's going to tell the story of maybe her, you know, and also it's being talked about in the chat room, and she mentioned it in the, that her mom made her outfit, which was my favorite outfit of all of them, the Evel Knievel style with the cape and the holding onto the motorcycle helmet. That was definitely my favorite of all the looks. But I feel like this is going to be, it's going to be her and her mom against the world. That's going to be the tragic story, or the story that makes people fall in love with her. And they will show her crying, and Joe will get an erection.
She's very fishy. I will say, again, in contrast to Crystal Method, I know Crystal Method is going to be our goofus here. I feel it was not fair to compare Dahlia to Crystal, because they're going for two different types of drag queen. But I do feel like what Crystal was attempting to pull off with the whole, like, I'm a dummy, is sort of the ingenue feel, you know? Yeah. And Gigi's able to pull that off without seeming like an idiot.
Right.
not that Crystal sounds like an idiot, but...
Right.
But she's able to pull that balance of confidence, but also an ingenue. Like, I'm new. I'm a baby. Aquaria had it, too. And she's not Aquaria. But Aquaria could pull off the, like, I'm a baby queen, but and like her started at 15. You know, I'm a baby queen, but I'm also very experienced. And they have a really confidence, but yeah, I'm new at this and willing to learn, but I love art and fashion. I think we can see big things from Gigi Good.
Yeah. Now, Mild Acts of Mayhem in the chat room is saying someone on Reddit said that Detox is Gigi's drag mom. Can we confirm or deny? Luke Stamen?
Luke Stamen.
What's going on? Yeah, I understand you're in the car, but
I can announce this. Luke Stamen is...
pull over on the side of the road and do some of this research for us. And where the fuck is my cappuccino?
Luke Stamen is the producer of season 12. I can announce that. You would think the producer of season 12 for episode 0 would not be driving to the local Tim Hortons to go pick up his cheese Danish and a cup of coffee that isn't for Taylor.
Exactly. Exactly. If you're at a Tim Hortons right now, cappuccino just above tepid warm.
Yeah.
I don't need to be burning my tongue on some fucking cappuccino. If it is too hot, I will throw it in your face.
Yeah. Luke.
Come on.
Come on, Lou. Come on.
Why am I still waiting for my cappuccino?
Yeah. All right. Gigi Good, anything else to say on her?
She might have been my favorite. Will she win? That's yet to be seen, but I feel like she is going to go really far.
All right. Next we have Heidi in Closet. Your thoughts on Heidi in Closet?
The only things that I really wrote down, actually, I totally forgot about my first list of things that I wrote about people, but, wrote that she seems strong in the walk, the 12 minute walk. And then when she did her interview, I wrote silly energy and fun. And something that I'm going to get yelled at when we're listening to this in the car, this was the moment that Babalu realized that, charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent spelled out cunt.
How did he recognize what happened?
Because she says it in her interview. She goes, cunt, charisma's unique, disturb a talent. And he starts laughing. He's like, that's what that means? And I just looked at him. And then immediately started writing things. He's like, don't put that in your notes for the show. I'm like, oh, no, that is definitely going in the show notes.
Yeah.
So how could you not know that? I don't know, Taylor. I just didn't realize it.
I'll give you the timestamp later so you can just go like, oh, we have to skip this part. And just like keep hitting 30 seconds ahead.
No, it's fine. I
wasn't charmed as much by her as you were. First of all, I know it was a choice, and boy, was it a choice, but I did not like those ill-fitting gloves that she had on. When she had on the gloves that looked like they didn't go, they all went down to her thumb. on her palm.
Well, a couple of them seem to have gloves like that, where they just barely came to the bottom of the palm.
I didn't like it. I'm not a fan. And I don't really have high hopes for her. I'll be honest with you. I was taking notes and I found myself losing focus and not, I'm like, well, where are we again on this one? I just thought she was kind of boring and didn't find anything interesting about her. So she didn't have the charisma to keep me captivated, whether it was good charisma or bad charisma. And so I found myself just mostly lulled. She thought she was amusing, but I wasn't as amused by her as she was by herself. So that's what I feel about. Any other thoughts on Heidi in Closet?
No, that's all I wrote on her.
All right, Taylor, what we're going to do right now is we're going to use this moment to... take a break, and we'll be back right after this.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
All right, spring is here. And with spring comes more social events. Now, for a lot of people, that's very exciting because they've been sad because they've been so alone during the winter. This is super exciting. But for a lot of people, I'm somewhere in the middle, this can be very draining, okay? You have to go to a bunch of social events. And it for me, at least, it always seems like when it rains, it pours. So there'll be a weekend where I'm doing nothing. And then there's a weekend where I have to do 10 million things and be in 4 million places all at once. And it's very draining. Have to entertain people and talk to people and be on all the time. Completely drains your social battery. Believe it or not, therapy can give you, and this is what I've learned, some self-awareness about how to set boundaries, how to say yes to things, how to say no to things, and how to keep your mental health safe. I have personally learned how to do this through therapy. It's been very helpful for me. It's how I keep my sanity, even when it seems like there are too many things to go to. If you've been thinking of starting therapy, do me a favor. Give BetterHelp a try. It's totally online. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to park anywhere. You do it in the comfort of your own home. And it's designed, it's even created to be convenient, flexible, and totally suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragrace today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragrace. Back from the break, Taylor. What did you do while we were on the break?
Went over my notes to make sure I didn't miss anything.
Oh, all right. Next down the runway, we have Jackie Cox. Thoughts on Jackie Cox?
When she first came down the runway in the 12-minute video, I wrote, I want to know more. I was definitely intrigued when she had the Iranian words in the back. So I thought, oh, okay, so we've got a Middle Eastern girl. When she was talking, my first thought was she said she's 34. And I thought, is 34 the oldest of all the girls this season? There are two that are 34, but I feel like that may be it. I hope she's a look queen with comedy. I'm hoping that she kind of is a little bit of the full package of where she offers not only looks, but I think she's very pretty as Jackie. And I wrote, not a great sewer, that's not a good sign. Or if she's already commenting that she's not a good sewer, that concerns me for her.
Well, look, here's the deal. First of all, Luke Stamen, what did the phrase in Farsi on the back of her cape say? Could you please get that? There's a phrase in Farsi on the back of her cape. What did it say? Thank you, Luke Stamen. Get on that now. Okay. I have a lot to say here.
Okay.
She said she's another musical theater diva. Okay. And I was like, oh, God. Okay, that's fine. Right? But the part, and I was fine with it so far. I get, I don't know. This is the part where I was like, I called bullshit. Okay. She said that when she and her friend came up with the name Jackie Cox, in college that they had no idea what it meant. And it wasn't until later that she realized what a double entendre it was. And I was like, really, bitch? You called your last name Cox and you didn't realize that it was referring to a penis?
Mm-hmm.
And you're coming up with a drag name and call. Oh, same thing. Did we already get? Oh, no, she's the next one. Yeah, she's the next one. Ugh. Another one with her, too. And
wow.
Yeah. She says she's a campy, fun queen. All right. She did make some good musical theater references. I did give her that. For some reason, I wrote, actually, you know what? Now I guess I grew to like her because as the comments go down, they get more and more positive. And I go, oh, I like that she says she's nerd and she has talent. And the last thing I wrote was, I grew to like her.
Yeah. She's a beautiful wig. By the way, we have breaking news.
Uh-huh.
So Humble Pie has written that the words in Farsi on the back are in English mean we are countless, a rallying cry during the Persian Spring protests of 2009. And this comes from Jackie's Instagram page. Now, I also want it noted that Humble Pie is the one who provided us with this information.
Yeah.
And not supposed producer
of
season 12, mm-hmm. Luke Samen, who has yet to bring me my fucking cappuccino.
Yeah. Luke Samen, less reliable than Evan Ayers. That's in a lot. Any other thoughts on Jackie Cox? How do you think she's going to fare?
She's a middle of the road girl.
Yeah. I feel she makes it to Snatch Game. You know, mm-hmm. And maybe one episode or two after, and then she's gone. She's like, she comes in maybe the same place that like, and I'm not comparing, I'm just saying the same place as like a Valentina, or I'm now intentionally choosing girls who are not like this. Aja came in sort of the same season, but around that, like make it just past Snatch Game. Mm-hmm. And then I think, who's the one that lies all the time and now is in hiding? What was her name? Same season.
Say that again?
The one that lied about the Uber ride.
What is her name? She did the roller skate thing.
Yeah, the one that it came to me for a second, then it left.
Robbie Turner.
Thank you, yes. Robbie Turner.
Thank you to Humble Pie, Mild Acts of Mayhem, and Haley's mom.
I'm gonna start calling her producer Humble Pie.
Yeah, I think that's definitely. Oh, and State of Bree has written Robbie Turner.
Well, State of Bree
hasn't written Robbie Turner.
Yeah,
who hasn't written Robbie Turner?
Luke Samen. But yeah. Robbie Turner. I'm sorry, State of Bree is already a producer. She's a producer of our Drag Race Thailand show, and that's what a real producer does.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, State of Bree.
Yeah,
I think I could see.
Mm-hmm.
I could see Jackie Cox
mm-hmm.
coming in, and she's also Canadian.
By the way, I just want you to know in the future, right now, Babalu has turned to you and said, wait, Jackie Cox. Do you mean like Jacking Cox?
So I think that I could see her going to Snatch Game
mm-hmm.
and trying to redeem Brooklyn for last year being Celine Dion and actually killing it.
Oh, interesting. Very, very interesting. All right, let's move on now. To Jada Essence Hall. Your thoughts on Jada Essence Hall.
Jada, I wrote drama when she walked in. Mm-hmm. That was the only thing that I got from her. And then when she did her interview, I wrote down she's a pageant girl, mm-hmm. which means she's going to be super competitive. And she said that her catchphrase is always, don't worry about me. Worry about yourself. She's going to be the one that is trying to get ever under everybody else's skin by commenting on their looks and commenting on their outfits. And she's going to be the drama. She's going to be the one that tries to manipulate people.
I think you brought up a good point. Think about what you just said. Her catchphrase is telling people to don't worry about me. Worry about yourself. You know, don't worry about me. If that's your catchphrase, that means you're constantly in conflict with people and tell them not to worry about you.
Right. Know?
And by the way, you're in a competition. My job at that point is to worry about you. In the real world, no, you're right. I shouldn't worry about you. But if I'm in a competition, yeah, my job is to worry about all the other bitches and how they're going to come for me in this competition. But you're right. Yeah. I could see if her catchphrase was like, have a nice life. No, that's it. That's even not kind of mean. If her, it's a beautiful day. If that's your catchphrase, like, oh, that's a nice person. But if your catchphrase is like, don't you worry about me, bitch, then,
yeah.
Now, here's my thing.
Not in comparing, because I'm not saying she's going to be the seasons, but, you know, you and I have recently talked extensively about season 5.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that we see Alyssa doing, particularly when Alyssa felt vulnerable, she would go after other people. And she would try to get them to be not feeling great about themselves. And yeah. I could see this with her being a pageant girl. I could see similar behavior in her.
Yeah. Now I want to say a couple of things. I have some notes here. One, as soon as she said she was the essence of beauty, I got very big Eliminatia Lopez vibes. And I was like,
the beauty is here. For long.
Well, here's the thing, and that's the tricky thing, and I can't believe it's still, because we have a couple of girls who are like this. There are girls who mistakenly fall into the trap that they think that to win this show, it's all about the look. And I'm trying to think of the last queen that won the look.
The one that used to wear purple all the time. The one that said that Evie smells.
The one that said Evie smells.
She said she wore the glasses that she looked like Urkel in all the confessionals.
Oh yeah, and I know you're talking about Raja.
Yeah, Raja fancied herself a look queen.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, when was the time a look queen won the show? So season 3, Raja won the show.
Raja, so I was gonna say Raja from season 3. That would be, but Violet maybe.
Okay, Violet. Yeah. Violet for sure. But maybe Violet's the last. I mean, you can count them on your one hand. Yeah. You know, the rest of them tend to be look. They have a mixture. Even you might say Aquaria, but Aquaria actually was pretty funny. She could pull off. Like, remember the baby one? She was funny. The one where she played
Melania Trump.
She could
any
do,
hole is a goal.
Yeah, she could do an acting challenge. She wasn't bad at that, but she was a bunch of other things too. So I don't know, but there are people, and so she seems to be one of those people. Now, again, going bullshit on the name. She goes, my friend gave me the name Jada in college, and I was like, bitch, why'd you call me Jada? Why that name? She didn't know why. She just called me Jada. I'm like, really? Because Jada Pinkett Smith was around?
Yeah, no, that went through everybody who knows anything head when she said that.
Well, that's why there's somebody else who calls it on herself, and she's right. Sherry Pye's one of them, and then Widow Von Du was like, yeah, I like Kat Von D, and I like I don't know, something else, right? And so that's why I did it. I mean, just name who your inspiration is.
Erykah Badu.
Thank you very much. Now, but one thing I did say though in her favor for Jada Essence Hall is she's a pageant queen. Here's the one thing. With the exception of Eliminatia Lopez, pageant queens tend to go farther than filler on this show. They tend to do at least the middle. Eliminatia is an exception. But apart from that, is there anybody like, are there any pageant queens that just went right away that you could think of?
Was Honey Davenport a pageant queen?
I don't know what her story is.
You know who could look that up for us?
Yeah, producer Luke Samen, could you find out if Honey Davenport was a pageant queen?
We need her entire history as far as how many awards and titles that she won and where she placed in the ones that she didn't win. Mm-hmm. And if we could have that within the next few minutes, that would be, you know, great. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Now, people in the chat room are bringing up Sasha Velour. She ran through my mind, but I was saying she didn't win because, in my head, she didn't win because she was a look queen, and this is a complaint about the show. She ultimately won because she lip-synced the best.
Well, she managed to keep out from being on the bottom two the whole time. And then just threw out some major lip-syncs.
Yeah. All right. Moving on, let's talk about Jan. She used to be Jan Sport, like the backpack, which is funny because I didn't know who she was, but immediately I thought to myself, when she walked out, I said, her name used to be Jan Sport.
Okay. Yeah, I thought that was a weird name, too. Yeah. Oh, wait.
Oh, Humble Pie.
Humble Pie writes, prior to appearing on Drag Race, Davenport was a frequent competitor in drag pageants, where she amassed a total of 18 titles by 2018. 14 of them were awarded in the three-year period between 2013 and 2016. Notable among them was the national crown of Miss America 2015.
Well, that is exactly what a producer will do. A producer will
Humble
provide
Pie,
information.
You're going to go places.
You know what?
The
you know what? I am not going to strip Luke of his title of producer. I've given it to him, and I'm not that kind of person. I'm not going to do that. But I am going to promote Humble Pie to executive producer Humble Pie of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 12. Mm-hmm. And I want you to know, Taylor, too, I know that I've shot myself in the foot and that I probably already have 11 Twitter direct messages from Luke saying, like, well, I guess I might as well just quit listening to the show because you guys clearly hate me. And I thought you guys liked me better than that. Anyway. So let me tell you this. I saw the picture of people from the as boys.
Uh-huh.
Jan was my favorite.
Jan was the one that when she walked, I had a hard time coming up with something to say. I just wrote, great eye makeup. That was the only thing I could come up with. Jan, to me, Jan is one of my least favorite. Really? I wrote down that I think her idea of apparently she hosts, because she mentions that she hosts numerous times in her 3 minutes. Yeah. But I have a feeling that she's one of these queens that you hate this when they do this. Thinks it's funny when hosting a show to suddenly look at some guy in the audience, go, "How you doing?"
Oh yeah, you know she does
with the straight voice. That's her bread and butter. When she said Alexis Michelle is her drag mother, I went, that makes total sense.
Here. Yes. Yes, you're right. I did the same thing. On my list, so I wrote, used to be Jan Sport. Okay, basic note. Then the second of all, she seems a little much. We might have to listen to her audio. She seems a little much, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then the next one is, ugh, are we surprised that Alexis Michelle is her drag mother?
Which kind of makes me a little sad, just because I remember liking Alexis Michelle to a point, and then I got to where I didn't like her anymore.
What's this girl's name again? Jan. Okay, now we have to do this one. Here we go.
Hi, I'm Jan.
Oh,
I'm
my God. I'm already like, oh, Jesus Christ. Like, you just, hi! I'm like, oh. Out the gate.
Validate me!
What is it about music? Now, by the way, before everyone starts getting mad, I like musical theater just fine. And like, you know, for instance, I went to this Cats. I knew every word of Cats backwards and forwards. Okay. Mm-hmm. I like musical theater just fine. But the ones who were like way too into it and they're just all like, I remember there was this video that went viral on YouTube where there was an airport and the plane was delayed. And so they were all stuck at the airport, the whole airplane, right?
Uh-huh.
Because it was frozen or something like that, right? And then the cast of The Lion King was on that plane. And so they're all sitting in the terminal, all this pack of people. They don't have nowhere to go, you know, right? And they start singing, all of them, from The Lion King. And everyone's like, oh, this is amazing. I was like, if I was in that airport, I'd be so annoyed. I would just shout bomb so the place would clear out.
Joe!
Because I was like, these musical theater people, they're going around and singing all the time. You know what's so funny? When I first started dating Aiden, I would tell him this. And he was like, they're not like that, yada, 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 right? And then he started doing musicals, right? Mm-hmm. And he would come home from rehearsal and be like, oh, my God, you're so right. They don't stop singing. They're just all a little much. I have to get away from them. They're so extra. And that's his Jan, you know?
Yeah. Right,
here we go.
And I'm from New York City.
Oh, my God.
So I came up with the name Jan because, well, I used to be a longer name, a backpack, if you get what I'm saying.
Wait, hold on for a second. Yaz Waz says she seems like an utter cunt if you read the blind items gossip. Can you please copy and paste that? Are you guys talking about Jan?
Yeah, that's if we could get some information.
Yeah. Okay, here we go.
to do that. So I am just Jan now, but it's okay because I love Jan Brady from the Brady Bunch. So I live in New York City now, but I grew up in New Jersey. So if you can't tell from the harsh vocals and the hair that's just teased and coiffed, I grew up there. I think New York City is the best city to do drag. We do it all. We host, we turn looks, we sing live, we dance, we have comedy mixes. It's just the place to go.
I think that most people would agree that New York City is the best city in this country. I don't disagree. And I love Los Angeles, right?
Mm-hmm.
But why is it...
But it's no St. Petersburg.
But why do New Yorkers always feel the need to tell you?
Because that's a Northeastern thing. That could just as easily be Philly. That could just as easily be Boston. There is something about that region of the country that we, as somebody who grew up in Philly, that you grow up with a real strong sense of pride for you, because it tends to be generations have lived there.
Oh, I see.
Whatever you want to see, it's the best. Jan, I like to say, is the girl next door plus so much more. I can give you the...
What girl next door? If I lived
one
next
with
door
a, one with a dick?
I'd move. If that was the girl next door, I'd move. I'd put my house for sale immediately. I'd be like, I gotta go. There you go.
Femme look and look absolutely stunning. But when you come to see one of my shows, you'll realize I'm absolutely insane. I definitely would say that the thing that's most important to me is performance.
No one is surprised you're insane, Jan.
Live singer. I've been doing it my entire life, and I love to bring that to the forefront of my drag. But also, I love looks. I love being able to turn some fashion. It's hard because in New York...
Did this fucking bitch drink like three coffees that Luke Stamen brought?
Yeah.
It's just like,
oh, well, at least somebody's drinking the coffees that Luke Stamen brought.
Yeah. Like, bitch, slow down.
You're doing shows for 2 hours. You don't have a break. And you want to be able to move and be free with your body. But mama, she can get up in all of this if she wants to. And so she's here. Lux, 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 Lux.
Oh, my God. I want to punch her in the face.
Oh, my God. But she's a cute boy, I will say. But you know what? She wasn't my cup of tea, but Alexis Michelle, you loved as a boy.
Yeah. Oh, no, she looks a little thick, too. So she's no Gigi Good skinny twink. So I'm assuming that I'm saying all these horrible things about Jan. And then the first episode, I'm going to go, this Jan is so cute as a boy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Joe Batanz.
No, Jan is cute as a boy. I mean, the one picture that I saw, she was.
It's Alexis Michelle from season 9. So when I first started doing drag, I didn't even necessarily think that it was going to be my full-time
career. But hold on. This story actually kind of proves that, because I told you, from the pictures that I've seen, she's very cute as a boy. Listen to this.
Mm-hmm. I started doing drag as Kris Jenner, and then I started to realize that my character could develop beyond Kris Jenner, and that's when Jan started to come into play. Me and Alexis actually met because I was doing a Kris Jenner number, and unbeknownst to me, she did it on the show. And so she, without me knowing, swooped me up and was like, I'm gonna take you under my wing.
I bet.
Yeah.
She saw her get out of drag and she was like, I'm gonna be your drag mother.
Obsessed with Ariana Grande. I love Lady Gaga. I am so inspired by music.
A drag queen that loves Lady Gaga? That's groundbreaking.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, and Ariana Grande. She's a gay guy that's obsessed with Ariana Grande. And here's the thing. And this is not to take away from Ariana Grande. They're very and Lady Gaga. They're very talented people.
Well, Lady Gaga is.
But how do you say I'm obsessed with music? And those are the two artists you name. Like,
right.
And it's not to take away from them. I'm just saying that would be as if I said, like, I love music. I love, and then I said, like, I love Edie Gourmet, and I love Esther Roll from Good Times. I don't even know if she sang. And then right here.
Now, if you said, I love everything from Edie Gourmet to Guar.
Yeah, exactly.
That's quite a wow. Okay. Yes. You like a little bit of everything.
Yes. Yeah, but you're saying
Guar.
Two people.
Who the fuck has talked about Guar?
No, but that makes sense. But that makes sense. But if you say like two people who make nearly the same writers probably write their songs. Oh, no, right. No. Lady Gaga writes her songs. Okay, fine. She does. Calm down. There's no difference between a Lady Gaga fan and a Bernie bro. That's all I got to say. All right, here we go.
And that's the driving force behind my drag. I think that because
I'm probably going to get an email saying like, you know, I used to like your guys' show, but the negativity you were spewing about Lady Gaga, I'm not going to listen anymore.
No, bye.
Singer, I'm able to mimic the shapes and the sounds with my mouth
when
it comes to...
I don't hate Lady Gaga.
No, and if anything, we are both. Okay, are you doing the same thing that I'm doing, where I am purposely tempering what I'm saying so that we don't get a mountain of hate from people that are like, I don't understand how you can't like, you know, like Gigi Good, because, you know, she's really going to be awesome and she's the next future of drag and blah, 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 blah. I'm not listening to the show anymore.
Well, okay. Yes, but I mean what I'm saying. But two, I'm really so at this point, at this point with the Gaga shit, I'm talking to Evan, because I know I'm going to get a fucking text message finally from Evan. He's going to be like, you know, honestly, Joe, Gaga, she invented music. Like, I didn't want to tell you this, but seriously, Gaga invented the piano. And you're like, okay, no, she did not. Okay.
Lip syncing, nail vibrato every single time. Yeah, you know.
Is she still talking?
Blue straw over here.
You know what? Hold on. I want to do, we're going to do a thing now. It's a show. I wish Lori was here with me. She could do it really well. We're going to, we're doing a show right now, what we called Road Trip with Taylor, Joe, and Jan. Okay.
Okay. Anyway,
now you and I'm driving, you're in the passenger seat, but Jan is in the back seat. Okay.
Okay.
Here we go. And like, I have the intro to the show. Now it's time for Road Trip with Taylor the Latte Boy, Joe Bacance, and the drag queen, Jan Sport. Taylor, can you do me a favor? Can you get the map that's in the glove compartment right there?
Yeah, which of the maps are you talking about? Is it the Greater Los Angeles one, or are you looking for the California one?
The Greater Los Angeles one.
Okay, what should I be looking for?
Wait, hold on. Jan, did you see if my wallet is back there?
Went to an all-boys Christian school.
Jan!
The name of my... Jan... he needs his wallet.
And now I'm a drag queen. Jan is...
No, Jan, we're talking to you. You don't have to talk about yourself in the third person. Jan.
No, we're right here.
I will dance.
Jan, we're talking to you.
I'm nice. Do you want to stop at In-N-Out?
Yeah, Jan, we're getting hungry. Where do you want to eat?
I'm different, and I'm not afraid to get messy.
Okay, we don't care that you're different. We just need to know, do you want a burger, or do you want, like, a taco someplace?
I'm really mad at you right now, but I'm this cleanse. I'm American. And who cares about Jan? And I want In-N-Out so badly, I can't have In-N-Out. And
I'm like, In-N-Out sounds so I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bring up In-N-Out. I want to change. So where on this map am I supposed to be looking?
I don't know. Jan, can we stop and get gas, or what's your story? I know I'm capable
of that, and that's why I'm America's Next Drag Superstar. I'm that girl.
Yeah, you are that girl. Trust me. Okay. All right, so that's Jan. How do you think she's going to do on the show, though?
I don't think she's going to go very far.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She might be
famous,
good TV.
Famous last words. This is the one that... And the finale, where Jan was crowned the winner of season 12.
Oh, can you imagine? You know what's so funny? She's going to be the girl they make you brought in, because she's the one in the workroom. She doesn't shut the fuck up. And they're like, Jan, that girl, oh, she just need to shut up. You know? Yeah. I don't know why Kennedy Davenport was all of a sudden.
I was going to say, is Kennedy Davenport?
Yeah, Kennedy Davenport.
Okay, I have a question that I was going to say for the end, but you just brought this up.
Okay.
So there are 13 queens this season that we know of.
Oh.
Are they bringing somebody back?
No, I don't think so. You think they're bringing somebody back?
Well, they've done it over the last couple of seasons. They brought back Vanjie. I mean, it wasn't necessarily a secret, but I didn't know if that's one of those where, I mean, when they brought back Cuckoo.
Mm-hmm.
And
I get the sense that they've started to listen to the fans at least a little bit, and so the fans were sort of tired of the stunts. Did you notice it was, for the first time in a few years, actually 7 months between the premiere and the finale? You know,
yeah.
So I think maybe they've heard about the exhaustion of Drag Race. They've heard that they're tired of the stunts, and maybe they're just going to give us a really traditional season. I don't know.
That would be wonderful.
It would be wonderful. Speaking of, let's talk about Nikki Doll, the French girl. Your thoughts here on Nikki Doll, Taylor?
Okay, let's see. When she walked, I wrote old school Florida drag. Just the way she was walking felt very old school 90s drag, which is funny because in the interview, I wrote visual performer. Yay, 90s, boo.
Oh, that's right, because you hate the 90s.
I hate the 90s, but I like the fact that she's from Paris. I think that's very interesting. She seems very intelligent, very worldly, very well-read. So I think that's going to make for interesting interviews or confessionals and looking at things from a different perspective. So in that regards, I'm excited for her.
First of all, you can just tell that the bitch is flawless.
Yeah.
The looks, she's going to give Gigi Good a run for her money. She is going to be the fucking look. I don't know. But the look, I mean, just the mug is flawless. She is fishy as fuck. I know that word is out of fashion. I'm sorry I said it. I don't care. The fucking looks were down. I mean, but, and she, and by the way, has the potential to be a major fucking bitch. You can see it,
yeah.
Right? Mostly because she's French. The French mm-hmm. are just known for being dicks. But ultimately, though, just like the experience I had with Heidi in Closet, I got bored after a while, and that's not a good sign. Ultimately, it had to be good television. Now, yeah. Should I bring the good television with the looks and the bitchiness? But
just the looks could, as we've talked about with other queens, just having the looks on the runway can only mm-hmm. take you so far.
Yeah, well, Miss Fame, it was all looks.
Right, and but Miss Fame, how far did she go? She didn't go
about
as far
halfway
as
through, maybe
halfway through. Yeah, yeah,
a little past halfway. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying, though. That's what I'm saying. And Miss Fame was also kind of boring, and clueless, and bitchy. I know Lori Roggenkamp is not a big fan of Miss Fame. So anyway, so I'm torn. I don't know how far because you have to ask yourself, how is Nikki gonna do in an acting challenge? That's where I'm sort of debating. It depends on what kind of challenges they have this season. Like, she would not do well in season 7.
No.
You know?
That we know of just from what we've seen in the in the interview.
Now, Ear Wyvern in the chat room says that looks get you to 5th place. Okay. All right. We'll see. All right. Next, we have Rakim Sakura. Now this is another one people are he's another thirst trap that people are thirsting over on Reddit.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. He might be kind of your style too. I think he has the thick thighs and whatnot, and has some pictures. But anyway, he loves anime, obviously. But what are your thoughts before you go on?
Well, with the walk, I wrote editorial. I thought that the use of color and the use of style and everything mm-hmm. was really interesting. But then when she did the interview that where she was in the anime kind of robot outfit, I was a little like, okay. By the way, speaking of the looks, something that I meant to say way before, I loved, not only did I love Gigi's interview look, but all the different types of plaid with the curly hair mm-hmm. was my favorite of all of the looks walking down the runway. I thought she looked fucking hot during mm-hmm. that. Okay, I just needed to add that in there.
All right.
But as far as Rakim goes, she seems very positive. She mm-hmm. seemed to try to give off a lot of positive energy. And I hope that if she does stay around, especially if you say she's cute as a boy, then I'm going to want her to stay around longer. I hope that she offers a positivity to the workroom.
She seems like she's kind of positive, seems kind of nice. I'm curious about whether, you know, not to compare her to this person, but to harken back to a season of Dragula, it was a season 2. There was a drag queen on there who was a big anime type queen.
Yeah.
And she struggled to do anything but, even though she was implored to change her style, she couldn't do it. And I'm wondering if Rocky will suffer from the same, or Rock, is it Rocky or Rock?
Rock-em.
It's Rock. It's Rock. If Rock will be able to change up the style from anything but anime and that style. And
her runway look or the walkway look didn't seem super anime.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, she was the anime was definitely over the top with the mm-hmm. interview.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope that we can see beyond. Yes, I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah.
On Dragula. And that thought did go through my head too, because she says anime like 3 or 4 times in her interview. Mm-hmm. And I thought that's not good that she's focusing so much on that. But
is she the one that says she can't do anything but there's somebody who says they can only do the angular makeup. They don't know how to do anything else.
Oh, I thought that was I thought that was Aiden.
Oh, okay. All right. Any other thoughts on Rock? To be honest with you, I don't think Rockham's long for this world.
I don't think she's long for this world either.
Yeah. Because you have to understand, RuPaul is a 60-year-old man. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And, or woman, you know, 60-year-old person.
Yeah.
And I don't think RuPaul understands anime beyond like, oh, that's a cute, like if you did anime one time on the runway, RuPaul might think that's cute. But if you're doing it every fucking week, she's like, bitch, no, stop.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the one eyebrow up that Michelle's going to do when he comes out in another anime outfit?
Right. Yeah. Where they flash to that with the lips like a pursed asshole. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's...
All right. Next we have Sherry Pie. I feel we're going to be talking about Sherry Pie quite a bit. She seems to be pulling like a very well an Ethel Merman cosplay kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean.
But Taylor, your thoughts on Sherry Pie?
When she came out walking, I wrote old school camp,
mm-hmm.
as in Wanakiki.
Yeah. She would do very well in Camp Wanakiki.
She's very Camp Wanakiki. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I wrote when she's talking is that I wrote it in huge numbers. I wrote 27.
She's 27?
27. She said, I'm 27 years old.
Times two.
Yeah. So I wrote, we get it. You're camp.
Yeah.
And she's definitely a theater kid.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, I did say Josefina Boohecker while she was talking.
Joey Boohecker is a person we know that does like an old school kind of drag.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she talked about being the past of drag and the future of drag. And my thought was, no, you're kind of the past of drag.
Mm-hmm.
The drag that you're giving right now is very past of, which there is a place for,
mm-hmm.
which there is a place for that. But I don't know. There was something about her that just felt very, and I feel like part of this is the one that's the hardest to not want to compare to an old contestant.
Okay, let's do the caveat that you're not comparing to this queen, but who, I'm curious who you're talking about.
She looks like Mimi I'm First.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And considering, you know, the reams of paper that have been written about Mimi I'm First and her behavior, not only on her season, but mm-hmm. also just out in the world, that was, you know, as the kids say, triggering to me. Mm-hmm. And I was trying really hard to get past that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that that's not who she is, mm-hmm. and that she is somebody that can bring some of that old school camp, which we know Rue loves. So this mm-hmm. might be a situation where Rue keeps her around longer because of this.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of got this weird hybrid of Mimi I'm First and Chi Chi LaRue.
Mm-hmm.
Like that whole like combination of just that drag aesthetic that I was a little like, oh, I hope I like this part.
Chi Chi LaRue is another good example. It's funny because she started talking because I want to hear just for, we're not going to play the whole thing for Sherry Pie, but the first comment I wrote, and I'm very curious to hear why I wrote this. I just wrote, oh God. Okay. So it must be something that's happened first. There we go.
Hi, I'm Sherry Pie. I am 27 years old, and I'm from New York City.
Now I know why I wrote, oh, God. Okay. I wrote another old school drag queen. Again, so Sherry Pie, before people think I'm being mean, is the person I was referring to when I said there are a couple of drag queens, and maybe I was exaggerating, that I'm like, I would love to go to a Sherry Pie show. Oh my God, yeah. I would love to go to a Sherry Pie show. There's nothing more than a drag show where it has a queen like Sherry Pie. All right? I don't know how well that will translate to RuPaul's Drag Race.
Okay.
It feels
like a camp. She's a Camp Wanakiki girl. Mm-hmm. She also reminds me of the winner of the last season of Camp Wanakiki, where they look similar and they have a similar...
Tora Hyman, yeah,
who has that kind of 50s, 60s style of the big hair, though she wears mm-hmm. hers in a ponytail, mm-hmm. but that we tons of pancake makeup and the flared skirts and that sort of thing. And we are high camp,
mm-hmm.
you know, Sherry Pie is, from what we've seen, mm-hmm. is high camp. That's not a dig. Yeah. That's just what she's showing.
Mm-hmm.
You said that perfectly. She could be a great queen. Does that translate to a bar on a Friday night when you have some of these other queens? She's standing next to some of these other queens that other people will be comparing her to for other reasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Again, there are different kinds of drag. All right. And I love camp drag. Love it. Mm-hmm. Right. Don't like Camp Wanakiki because it's a horrible show, but I do love camp drag. I just don't know if there's a place for it on RuPaul's Drag Race anymore. And that's not my decision. It's theirs. Okay.
Yeah.
I feel she probably had a good shot in season one, season two. That's it. Right? After season three, the show took a diversion. Okay? Mm-hmm. And it's an old school type of drag, and that's fine. But just like if you were on American Idol, let's say, I think you'd have, or The Voice, you'd have a tough time if you went on there and you went, I do a very Edith Piaf style of singing. They'd be like, okay. Or if you did like, I sing like a 19th century opera singer. They'd be like, okay, well, you have a beautiful voice. It's just, we're looking for America's, you know, next pop superstar. So, yeah. Like, you know, like Lady Gaga and Ariana Grande, who invented music. But, so it's not to knock her voice. It's a very talented voice, but less like an opera singer has no place on American Idol. I don't know if there's a place for her on RuPaul's Drag Race, and I don't see how she goes very far. And that has nothing to do with how good she is as a drag queen. I just don't see it.
Yeah.
We should
cut to the end of May when the winner of season 12 is crowned Sherry Pie.
Yeah. She might make RuPaul – that's the thing is RuPaul does like – some degree, but the problem she's going to run into, and she says she's actually fashion forward, which I'm going to have to see for myself, right?
Yeah.
Not from what, I've seen, no. And it's not that her looks are bad, but I didn't get fashion. Gigi Good and Nikki Fox, they're.
Nikki Doll.
Oh, Nikki Doll. They are fashion forward, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, so again, I wish nothing bad for Sherry Pie. That's just the reality of the show. And if anything, I'm putting the blame on the show and not on Sherry Pie.
Well, we wish nothing bad for any of these girls. Except Jan.
Yeah, maybe Jan. Mm-hmm. All right, wrapping it up, we have Widow Von D, who gets her name from Kat Von D and Erica Badu. I have very definitive thoughts on her. What are your thoughts there, Taylor?
I love the energy coming off of Widow Von D.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saving my one thing that I thought. The one thing where she said Erica Badu was my alma mater, which I thought that sentence doesn't make sense. But because isn't an alma mater like a school?
It means like my soul mother or something like that. But yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So I wrote Niecy Nash realness.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked the energy coming off of her. I also wrote from the walk. I loved her look in the walk. And I wrote, she is what Vinegar Strokes could have been on Drag Race UK.
Okay.
That's the type of – because I remember when we did – because that was the last time I was on the show with you.
Mm-hmm.
We did the Meet the Queens for Drag Race UK. Mm-hmm. And I said I really liked Vinegar Strokes.
Oh, yeah.
I liked her energy, mm-hmm. but then she was a hot mess on the few episodes she was on.
By the way, alma mater, Luke Stamen did not send this to me. I had to look at myself. Nourishing Mother.
Okay.
Nourishing Mother.
Yeah. So Luke Stamen just wrote something.
You can't say what he said.
Huh?
You can't say what he said.
No, I know you can't see what he says, but it has nothing to do with the multiple things that we've asked him to get us information on.
Yeah, like none of the things we asked him to get him on. He instead found out information about something we can't even say on the air.
Right, that we had to bleep out.
Yeah, we had to bleep out.
So, and he's getting out of the car right now. He better be holding my fucking cappuccino in his hand.
By the way, I had to look up that alma mater meant nourishing mother.
Yeah.
So in a way, she used it correctly. Erica Badu is her nourishing mother.
Then I stand corrected. I liked her. I like the name. Mm-hmm. Something about the name was very cool to me. It sounded very exotic, and I feel like that's what she was going for. But I liked her. I liked her a lot.
So I like Widow Von D quite a bit. Okay, here's my thoughts though. First of all, RuPaul is gonna love her. She has the charisma that RuPaul loves. The kind of personality that Widow was showing us on the Meet the Queens is the kind that RuPaul loves. She's the kind of girl she does where RuPaul will do the Oprah thing. You know when Oprah will talk to like, oh, Marianne Williamson's on the show. She's like, hi, Marianne Williamson. And then Michelle Obama comes on and she's like, hey, girl, what? You know,
yeah.
Oprah does that. RuPaul will do that with her. She's like, oh, hi, Nikki Doll. And then she gets to Widow Von D. She's like, girl, what you doing? You know, and you're like, oh, okay. So that's a good thing. From what I saw, though, on the Meet the Queens, her look was a little cheap looking. And it could be
the one with the ponytails. Yeah, she was a little unpolished.
Yes. And that, I don't know what's going to happen on the actual show.
But okay, but she was unpolished, but then her walkway look with the, yes. with the big tall hair yes. and everything was flawless. She You're looked right. amazing.
You're right. That's why I'm torn. I'm yeah. torn on her. I think she's going to go, she's going to do fairly well.
Okay.
I think she's going to do well. I don't know if she's going to win, and I don't know if she'll be top four. But I think she will go farther than a lot of people give her credit for.
Okay.
That's my pen. Oh, I just dropped my pen. Now, those are all the queens. Now, Taylor, are there any other thoughts that you had on this show?
It felt like it was a lot of similar queens. Which I know is weird considering we're saying some of them are very dragular, some of them mm-hmm. are very Camwatakiki, or some of them are theater, and some mm-hmm. of them are looks. But it felt like I was seeing a lot of the same.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them said in their interviews, you've never seen anybody like, okay, but that's not true because everybody's been seen before. Mm-hmm. And I want to be very excited about this season. I think this is one of these where I'm just going to have to get into it. In order to really know whether or not I like it or whether or not I don't.
Yeah. I'm in the same
Do you
way.
Feel the same?
No, or? I feel exactly the same. I have feelings. They're shaking. Like right now I was going around looking at my bottom three and then trying to look at my top three. And with the exception of Gigi Good, I could make an argument for and against almost every person.
Yeah.
And so I don't feel very confident. You have to remember something. Before you people think that I'm full of myself, I'm the one that did say that on season 9, Pheromone and what was the girl? She looked like she was Asian and she was not very smart.
The one that had the neck tattoos?
Kimora Black. I said Kimora Black was for sure top three.
Okay.
Bottom three.
So you want me to give top three and bottom
top three. I have my bottom three that I think the first three to go, but okay. I think I can maybe come up with. I think I have a top two so far. That third spot is being hard for me to fill.
Okay.
I have a lot of contenders for that third spot.
I have two of my top three. All right, let me do.
I have two of my top three, too.
Two of my bottom. All right, I have one of my bottom three.
So I think I know what I'm going to do. What I'm going to do is I'll tell you when we do the top two, I will tell you who my top two are, but then I'm going to leave a third space and who I'm deciding between. Okay, that sounds fair. And I'll make a decision on the air.
Okay. All right, so I have my bottom three,
mm-hmm.
and oh, you know what? Okay. Let's just do top four. Let's do top four. And
oh, okay, three. Okay, a top four. All right, so it's not in any particular order. Okay,
it's not in any particular order. It's just the top four. And God, then.
I could even make a top five. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so you want me to go first?
Yeah, tell me your top. Tell me, let's start with the bottom. Tell me your bottom three.
My bottom three.
Well, no. Let me rephrase. Who you think are the first three to go home?
Right, that's what I meant.
Yeah, yeah.
Not my favorites. I'm not doing favorites, but as who I think from what I've seen.
Yeah.
The people that I think will go home first in no particular order.
Yes.
Are Crystal
mm-hmm.
Method.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry Pie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh shit! Did I only pick two? Oh, and Rock'em.
I literally have the exact same first three to go.
Okay.
So to me, I'm exact same down the line. I'm not in no particular order. I really don't know who's first to go. But I say Crystal Method, Rock'em Sakura, Sherry Pie. I will say I feel Crystal goes home first or second because of what I told you. She seemed in that interview to be like a person who went home first or second.
Okay.
Did it afterwards.
So, and I feel as though the top four
mm-hmm. –
that will make it all the way to the end.
Yeah.
And could potentially be the top four if they do the lip syncs against each other.
Yeah, too.
So technically
true, yeah.
So technically we should do a top four instead of top three.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Again, in alphabetical order.
Okay.
Would be Gigi Good,
mm-hmm.
Nikki Doll,
mm-hmm.
Widow Von Du,
mm-hmm.
and Britta. That's not alphabetical, but you know what I meant.
That's very interesting, Taylor. That's very interesting, because if we're doing alphabetical order, I'm going to give you five. I'll tell you why, because it's very interesting what you said. I'm saying Britta.
Uh-huh.
I have Dahlia Sin, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Gigi Good.
Mm-hmm.
And then in that fifth spot, not because, just because it's alphabetical order, Nikki Doll and Widow Von Du. So I'm very, very clear. I just can't decide who has that fourth spot. So we're very, very, the only thing is that, the only difference is that I have a Dahlia Sin in the mix there. I can't decide who has that fourth spot. And it could be Dahlia Sin gets booted. I just, Nikki Doll, it worries me is the television part. And there's a give and take with each one. Widow Von Du has the personality,
mm-hmm.
but does she have the looks? Nikki Doll has the looks, but does she have the personality? Gigi Good seems to have the whole package. Britta yeah. has the personality, but does she have ultimately what it takes to go all the way? And then Dahlia Sin, I just sort of feel has the chutzpah, if you will, to just elbow her way through, and has enough looks. And she has enough looks and enough experience and enough dance moves and lip syncing. Mm-hmm. Like if she makes it to the top four, Dahlia will lip sync like three times.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. So I wrote somebody was a possible lip sync assassin.
Mm-hmm.
And, but now that Dahlia could be the lip sync assassin, I wrote Heidi for some reason. I thought Heidi would be a lip sync assassin, but looking back, I think it would be Dahlia, if anybody.
Now, everybody in the chat room is giving their tops, and go feel free to do. I would love to see who you guys like and who you don't like. Mm-hmm. All right. But Taylor, anything else?
No, I'm looking forward to doing the season with you. I love that it's not on a Thursday night anymore. Oh, yeah. It's going to be on Friday nights.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to race home after working an 11-hour day on Thursdays. Mm-hmm. I can rest up and I think it's going to be fun. And we're going to cap off this season. The plan is for me to cap off the season, or towards the end of the season, to come out to California.
Yeah.
And I'm very much looking forward to that. We'll be discussing that ad nauseum over the next couple of months as well.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Recap. Be sure to join us on Leap Day, February 29th. Well, on Patreon. You'll get it like March 1st or 2nd on the iTunes feed as Taylor and I continue to discuss, dissect, and deconstruct each brand new episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 12. So, for Taylor the Latte Boy and myself...
Where the fuck is that cappuccino?
Jeffrey Thunderbear! That makes no sense, everybody. Want to share your thoughts about Drag Race? Email us at dragracerecap@gmail.com. For up-to-the-minute news about the show, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Drag Race Recap. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/Drag Race Recap. For bonus content and to support the show, head over to patreon.com/Drag Race Recap.
Wait.
No, don't do that. patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia. I'm going to redo the outro now. Jeffrey Thunderbear podcast. It's called Pod Is My Copilot, and you can find it at podismycopilot.com or wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow Taylor on Twitter and Instagram at PIMC Taylor. Follow Joe Batance on Instagram and Twitter at Joe Batance. That's BETANCE. The outro music was written by Lucian Piani and arranged and performed by Alex Lefebvre. You can find Alex Lefebvre on Instagram at Alex Lefebvre Music. To find all of our old episodes, visit our website at dragracerecap.com. You can also find other Afterthought Media shows like Hello Uglies at hellouglies.com and Catching Up at catchinguppodcast.com. Drag Race Recap is an Afterthought Media production.